Well, as we all know, the Mandela Washington Fellowship, that is a flagship of the YALI, the Young African Leaders Initiative, which was initiated in 2014, looks at empowering young people to become leaders in their different fields, civic engagement, and we also have business and other public tracks. So the experience was awesome. I mean, I met a lot of amazing young African leaders, and also it was a very good chance to reconnect with South Sudanese youth leaders, because we are about 10 from South Sudan who went for this program and then joined with over 690 others from other sub-Saharan African countries. So it's been an amazing experience sharing ideas on how to enhance our capacities as young people. But also we met with a lot of industry experts in different fields, in peace building especially. That's my area of focus, and also media as well. So it was an awesome experience.
If there's one thing that you've come back with, what is it?
I think a little mindset change on how to look at diversity, because when you look at the United States, it's a country that has a lot of different backgrounds and different kinds of people in there, and how they learn so hard to peacefully coexist, it directly relates to the kind of work we try to do here as IMPs also. And so how people view culture and diversity is a little different from how we do it right here, and I feel that's something that I bring back.
And how is this going to, how is this experience going to impact on the work you do, like at the IMPs initiative?
Yes, as you said earlier, IMPs is a platform for young people to enhance their capacity on how to peacefully coexist, you know, improve relationship among the young people. And so I met with a couple of peace builders, and also they tried to enhance my capacity on how to engage young people into activities that contribute to nation building. So I feel my experience at the YALI makes me look at things at a different angle. When we started IMPs, we started with a passion. Without experience, without anything, we started with a passion to change something. And now over a couple of months since February last year, it's almost 18 months now, we realized that there are a lot of things that we have been doing, others we've been doing right, others we've been doing wrong. And the YALI experience has given me a different mindset. For example, when it comes to how you look at situations of conflict, and also trying to narrow down to our country here in South Sudan, how we see people view conflicts and how they try to resolve conflicts at the very lowest level as an individual, as a family. And so YALI has enhanced my capacity on trying to come up with new ideas of how to resolve conflicts, come up with new ideas of how to manage a situation in case everything gets worse. And also tries to help me understand why we are where we are right here in South Sudan, and also every role every young person has to play in peace building. So YALI has been a very good experience, and it has enhanced the capacity of IMPs. And I'm so happy that all the 9 other South Sudanese who went for the program have learned quite a lot, not only for themselves, but also indirectly that will contribute to IMPs as an organization as well. And there are a lot of other programs that we shall be coming up with together as a team from South Sudan.
Yes, let's talk about IMPs project now. You did mention that this is a project that started, or initiative just started out of passion with no experience. You just wanted to do something for IMPs. What exactly do IMPs do? What is this initiative all about? Just give us a brief background about it.
Yeah, so looking at how South Sudan has been for over a couple of years, and seeing how everyone is trying so hard to play his or her role, I want to ask myself, what is the role that I am playing to bring the change that I really need in this country? As a media person, what am I doing in the media? So after the 2016 crisis, I went to Uganda and then visited a couple of the refugee camps before officially becoming a refugee. Mm-hmm. And so looking around and seeing how the young people are living their life with a lot of hopelessness and with a lot of pain, you know, many people have lost whatever they had. So they only wake up, play cards, eat, sleep. that is the lifestyle of most of the young people. And so a lot of organizations, national and local, have been trying so hard to improve the life of these people. But then I felt there would be something different. How would they view if a fellow South Sudanese comes to talk to them on how they can peacefully coexist? A lot of tribal conflicts do happen, a lot of land issues, and very many things, very many conflicts do happen in the refugee camps. So I Am Peace Now started as a media advocacy project under One Radio in Ajumani called Radio Amani. So through the project, we started advocating for peaceful coexistence, educating the refugees on some of the do's and don'ts, especially with the Ugandan laws that sometimes they find themselves off, mm-hmm. and they get on the other side of the law, which becomes a very huge problem. So we partnered with the Ugandan police as well and did a lot of community policing. So we use a lot of tools like media, community outreach activities, and we also have arts that we use, like music that you just played right now, mm-hmm. to advocate for peaceful coexistence. And yeah, that's basically what I Am Peace is.
Now, 18 months down the road, can you say this was worth it?
Yes, this was worth it. Looking back at how we started and where we are right now, I feel it's not about it's not about the recognition that maybe people have for I Am Peace, but it's about the impact that I Am Peace has already created in the refugee settlements.
Tell us about the impact.
So there are a couple of conflicts that have arose in some of the refugee settlements, and we have been directly involved in settling them. I remember land disputes in one of the refugee settlements called Olua One, where we partnered together with the Danish Refugee Council in Uganda to go and resolve this conflict. And this land conflicts is between the refugees and the host community, where the host community does not need the refugees to go and maybe cultivate or get firewood. They do not want the young people to play, and their balls should even go to the other side of the land that does not belong to the refugees. So that has been a little issue that brings a lot of conflict. So we went and talked to the young people. We had a dialogue with them and resolved some of the ways they can, you know, use to make sure some of these things do not go beyond what they feel. Should not go beyond the expected outcome. So we had a discussion, and it worked so well that I think up to today there's no conflict that has been reported with regards to land issues in Olua One since that time. And also we did a lot of activities like the Ajumani Unity Run, and this is a run that we focused on bringing the refugees and host communities together to learn from each other. And you know, because most of the conflicts are based on stereotypes, the host community does not really know how a refugee lives their life. They do not even know. So just because you're from South Sudan, there's already a mindset mm-hmm. that they already have.
South Sudanese.
Yeah, South Sudanese are like that. South Sudanese are like that. Mm-hmm. So what we wanted was to create a platform where these people can interact, learn from each other, and look at people individually. So when somebody does something, it's not Sambro from South Sudan or like a South Sudanese doing something. It's Sambro as an individual.
Yeah,
you see? So I don't get judged that way. And that also applies to all the refugees in their tribal mindsets. When you judge somebody, don't judge that person because the person belongs to a particular tribe. Make sure you do that as an individual and judge the person individually. And that has been some of the mindset changes that we've been trying to create.
And you came from the Yalit program last week.
Yes.
Immediately you went to Ajumani.
Yes, yeah.
Now, I do believe you might have interacted with some refugees while you were there. Tell us about what really are some of the issues or some of the things that the refugees need, some of what they go through every day in Uganda.
Well, different refugees face different challenges, and all their challenges are based on their basic needs and their daily needs. Because when you go to other settlements, Ajumani has about 20 refugee settlements. So looking at these 20 refugee settlements, they are managed by different implementing partners. And so every settlement has a different problem. Mm-hmm. So you find that some people just face issues because of the family that they do have. And recently there's been a census. And so if you're not part of the census, your name gets cut out. So the ratio that is brought home tends to reduce. So people complain about food. Sometimes it's not enough and stuff like that. But then the other issues that still persist between the refugees and the host community, so we are in other refugee settlements in relation to land issues. Some refugees want to cultivate, but they don't have enough land to do that. And especially the young people, the one we really work with, mm-hmm. most of them feel they have lost hope here in South Sudan, but still they feel like they're in a foreign country and they can never start a new life. So changing their mindset from their daily idle mind, it's a really big challenge, and they get involved sometimes in some other behaviors that might not be good to the society just because they have nothing else to do. Although some settlements are working so hard and they really have good people doing a lot of amazing stuff, others still do have those challenges with the young people who are idle. They wake up every day, they go drink, and that is their lifestyle. So I feel those are some of the challenges that people do face, an idle mind, some shortage of food, others don't have enough land to cultivate. But then others feel like they are done, they're fed up, they need to come back. Because we've even had cases of voluntary repatriation. You know, some people feel like it's better they just die at home than die away from home. So sometimes it breaks my heart when you look at a lot of young people and women and trying to just leave the refugee camps, trying to get back to South Sudan because they feel they can't live there anymore. It really saddens me. And there are a lot of other challenges.
And that's because their areas are still not safe to go to.
Exactly. Right?
Okay. Now, what is in there for I Am Peace now? What are some of the initiatives? What are some of the projects you're working on? What is in the pipeline?
So, I Am Peace has registered here in South Sudan as well this year. Because we initially registered in Uganda and now we registered in South Sudan as well. And so we are looking at scaling our impact also a little broader, not only focusing on the refugees. And what we have done right now is we have planned a couple of workshops and trainings for youth peace builders based on one, the knowledge that personally learned from Yali, and also teaming up with other peace building organizations. We did a couple of trainings, for example, with Defy Head Now in Uganda, Kampala in Arua, and also here in Juba. So we would like to scale that more to other areas that other people who do not get a chance, we'll also get a chance to get some basic peace building skills and you know, find a way of how to learn to peacefully coexist in some other areas. But also we as our mission is, we use education and entertainment as tools to create a peaceful society. So we also want to enhance capacity of school children. So we are trying to come up with activities, going to schools and teaching school children how to become peace builders from a tender age, so that as they grow up as peace builders with a different mindset of peaceful coexistence.
Sambro, been nice talking to you, but just before you go, peace has been signed already. I know you're aware of that. Yes. It's been 1 month since it's been signed. What is your message for the youth?
Everyone has a role to play in this implementation process. We should never leave it only to those who signed it. And the role we have to play is having an open mind to realize that we have the power as young people to hold all our leaders accountable for any of their actions. I know there are a lot of challenges that we do face, but the role that you can play as a young person is to be peace yourself and to teach other people how to be peaceful. So that if we can change the mindsets of those going to war all the time, there will be no young people to be recruited to go and fight. Mm-hmm. So be a peace builder yourself, and then the whole nation will become peaceful. And that's my message to the young people.
Sambro Lupai, thank you for coming to Mirai Studios. We do appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Sabine.
And I wish you all the best in your I Am Peace project.
Thank you so much.
Well, that brings us right away to 21 minutes past 8. This is the Mirai Breakfast Show. If you have a strong view on that interview or that discussion right there, please don't hesitate. Our text message line is 091-2177-141. Now, the message right there is, you should be peaceful yourself. And from there, you too have a role to play in whatsoever capacity, do something. So ask yourself this question today: what am I doing to contribute to peace in South Sudan?